Sorry, I'm late. Again.
Sorry, I've already had someone call you a dick in the comments.
Already?
Well, I said you're a dick, and then Scott said you're a dick, and...
Well, that's not nice. I'm okay with it. I'm just saying it's not nice.
We still love you.
I still love me.
Good.
Welcome to episode 70 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am the rarest Nintendo game and the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and 70 is a pretty big number.
My name is Jason Lamb, a resident Canadian, and I like drugs.
Awesome! So, yeah, 70 is a pretty big number. I'm not good at math, but it seems to me to be about 70% of the way towards 100.
That is, from what I've been told, that is correct.
Wow, that is definitely a
number. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
But I believe that is a thing that people do sometimes.
Like math.
So Jason does drugs.
Yeah, Jason drugs. Not only does drugs, but he loves...
Raise your hand if you're surprised. Surprised. Not surprised. What kind of drugs do you do, Jason? Let's hear it.
Whatever I can put in my mouth.
What if I put something in your mouth that's not a drug?
Then I wouldn't like it, because it's not a drug.
All right, well, just...
So you don't eat
if you
fruit,
coated
you
it, just... If you coated it with drugs...
Just spitballing here, seeing what everybody's thinking.
So yeah. No needles, just pills.
Well, I can put the needle in my mouth.
What good is that going to do?
I don't know.
Just like squirt it.
That's
through.
Why I'm on drugs.
Stab yourself in the tongue. Get that flavor high. Wow. Mm. That's an awful idea, Jason.
There's always something going on. Always
enjoy that mental image, people.
I am. I'm getting a big kick out of it. It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah.
We got the band back together.
Yeah, it's been a year since the three of us did a podcast.
It's been since last year since the three of us have done a podcast.
Same thing.
Yeah, whatever.
Jack,
talk about having troubles with math.
What can I say? I'm not...
Hey.
Me math is not so good.
Me math not so good. Not so good.
So, have you guys been playing any video games lately?
Let's see what Druggy's been playing since he's been out and about doing his drugs.
I played the remake of Shadow Warrior.
Ah, cool.
Which is fantastic.
I have it, so I should play it.
I'm giving it my... It was probably in the top three most enjoyable games I played this year.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Like, wait, I really liked
2013.
It.
Like, how many games have you played this year so far?
A lot.
Three.
Yeah.
He's played three.
It's in the top three. Okay.
I played Peggle, Asteroids, and Shadow Warrior.
What the hell is Peggle?
Heard of it.
Peggle,
heard of
man.
Peggle.
It's Peggle. It's by PopCap.
Oh, so it's like an internet game.
Yeah, kind of, but they sell it for money.
Aren't all games internet games now? Hunter,
no.
What have you been playing?
I've had the displeasure of playing Target Renegade for the NES.
Yeah, it's not the worst game.
No, it's pretty pretty bad.
It's not like it's good or anything. But
well, here's the problem. Is I got sucked in by their marketing ploy.
Uh-oh.
If whoever's watching right now, or if you're listening to it, you know, on your computer, maybe even in your car, I want you to pull over right now, and I want you to Google Target Renegade for the NES, and I want you to look at this box art. This box art is impressive. If I was 10 again, and I saw this on the shelf, I would pick this game up. Without any kind of review needed. Because it looks hardcore. and then you pop it in, and it's the absolute worst beat 'em up game I have played in a long, long time. The opening stage, you are designed to take out these bikers that are on motorcycles. And they're screaming in from the left and right sides of the screen. And it's next to impossible to knock them off the bike because you have to perform this piss poor control of a move, which is the jump kick, where you have to push up first and then you push A and B to jump kick. Can't hit them at the same time. You have to hit up just a slight second first before you hit A and B. But then you have to time it right, and these things are coming at you pretty damn quick. And if you don't time it right, you get ran over. To add insult to injury, at the very bottom of the screen, there's a beautiful text box that the game tries to help you of what to do. So occasionally, the game will say, hey, take out the motorcycle guys. Yo, dude, you got to take out the bikers to continue on. And it's like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm trying to do it. And you're not helping me on to how. You're just telling me what I'm supposed to do. I already know what I'm supposed to do. I'm the only guy on the screen. When other things come into the screen, I am to destroy them. I get that. It's a video game.
Yeah.
Yo, dude, hit the bikers.
It's a shame because Taito made some excellent NES games, especially later in the console life. But Target Renegade is...
That's not one of them, man. That is not one of them. Man, so bad.
So it was the worst possible way to start 2014.
It was pretty bad. And, you know, I kind of ran into one of those things where... I had mentioned it on a couple of podcasts ago where I bought like a bunch of games at once and there were some games that I really wanted to play. Like I bought Blast Corps and I bought Mischief Makers and I bought Epic Mickey for the Wii, and Target Renegade is the game I decided to put in first.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's 2014 is not working out like I thought it would. So I'm really hoping it. Well, here's the thing, though, because it can only get better from here. Because trust me, Target Renegade is the absolute bottom. It doesn't get any worse. But look at that box art, man. That's some kick-ass.
That is some nice box
art.
To anyone listening, the next time you want to see NES box art or a series of them, rather than Googling them all, just go to NESguide.com. Excellent directory, and every games page has the box art right there, so...
And don't forget about the music player. That's the best part.
Yeah, the 8-bit radio, man. Constant streaming 8-bit chiptunes, like straight from the game.
Very cool.
It's a great site.
Super cool.
What have you been playing?
So one night this week, I gave myself the Quick Shot Challenge. What I did is I played 3 classic Nintendo games, or I should say try to. Using the QuickShot model QS-126 controller. Anyone watching the live stream can see the controller. It's a janky piece of crap.
Kind of looks like a mouse.
It looks like a mouse. The cord is at the bottom, which gets in the way of your hands. And the A and B buttons are at the top. And there's no comfortable way to hold it or use it. I was happy that it worked. I mean, at least electrically, like, I can plug it in. It still works after all these years. The buttons do stick a little bit. I played Super Mario Brothers, Contra, and Marble Madness. So, in Super Mario Brothers, I'm trying to hold it like this, my left hand at the bottom, using the little wheel directional pad, holding B up here and jumping over here. And I... The best
for those listening to the podcast on Monday, he looks very awkward holding this thing.
And the best thing I can say about it is maybe if I'd been using this kind of controller since I was 4 years old, I would have been decent at it. Like I would have understood the timing and the different pressure and the finger placement. but I felt like I was just kind of getting in my own way. Maybe my hands are just too big too. I mean, this controller just seems pretty small to me. It's just this little piece of plastic here. I mean, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you a very simple question.
Yes.
What was the purpose of creating this peripheral to begin with? Like, what was the marketing behind it? Like, was it, you know, be able to outpace your friends with one hand, or, you know what I mean? Something like that, maybe?
Here's my two ideas. Idea number one, PC gamers. Kind of looks like a mouse. Look at it. Jason Lambs of the world. Buy this controller.
But they made a mouse.
Right? Well,
Jason,
not for the
does
NES,
that controller
actually.
Look good to you?
No.
Not for the NES. And number two, maybe it's just so unique and so different from all the other stuff. They just thought they could get market share that way.
Right.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers was really difficult. I died like against Goombas. I missed jumps. Contra was that was awful. Awful. Trying to like rapid fire this. Good thing is there is an auto fire toggle at the top, so you switch that to on. That helps a little bit. So I thought Marble Madness would be ideal. You control the marble with this nice little, you know, this perfect little round controller down here. No. It somehow, because it gives you more freedom of motion, rather than giving you more precise controls, it just gives you more room to fudge it up and not understand how you're going, where you're supposed to be going. Because, I mean, on a normal controller...
Wait, which quick shot was it?
The QS-126.
Okay.
So the final point I want to make is... Yeah, why this doesn't work is that on something using a traditional directional pad, you don't have to look at the controller. Your thumb knows that it's pushing over here or up here. You can feel the corners of the directional pad. With this thing, like, unless you're looking at it, you're never sure if you're gradually drifting to a point in the game where you're pushing left and then you suddenly start going down, because it's stupid. I'm never doing it again.
It reminds me almost of the... Have you seen the new Steam controller?
Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me almost of the pads they have on that have replaced buttons and the D-pad.
Am I the only one that's excited about the Steam controller?
No, I'm excited about it.
I don't hate it. I just think it's kind of weird. I don't know.
Mind you, you could slap the word Steam or Valve on anything and I would buy it.
Wow. Right. Would you?
So.
Yeah.
I'm going to put poop in a bag and write Valve on it.
Sweet.
Take that back. I'm
Is it hot?
Halo.
Does it steam?
I'm going to write Half-Life 3 on a bag of poo, and I'm going to give it to you.
Don't play with my heart.
Nice.
Quit playing games awkward. With your heart? Yeah? Anybody else singing it? Well, the reason that you kind of go back to what I was thinking before, like there had to have been a reason why this controller was created. Like there was a very specific game that it was set for, or like you just don't create things for no reason. That doesn't make any sense.
Back then, granted, maybe you did.
Well, you got your joysticks for your flight sims. You know, you got your mouse for your mouse things. You got joystick controllers for like fighting games and that kind of thing. Like, I just can't see what this would have been used for.
Look at it.
I'm looking.
Does it look practical for any purpose?
There's got to be a purpose, or somebody wouldn't have stood up and said,
"There's
this
no
is the
reason.
Controller that we need to make."
No, it's just no.
Trying to give it the benefit of the doubt.
And was it an official Nintendo product?
No, I don't know. No.
Okay.
No,
just,
not at
just
all.
No. Just no. Yeah, so what games did you play with it?
Super Mario Brothers, Contra, Marble Madness.
Super Mario Brothers is an excellent game.
It is.
I mean, we're talking about the games, right? I mean, it's...
Right. Oh, yeah. Super Mario Brothers is great. Level design is revolutionary. It teaches you the limits of your play as you go through the first level, how far you can jump, how fast to run. It's fun to play... like a speed run, see how fast you can beat it. Contra is still...
I think all the power-ups are in the first level, too, aren't they?
Yep, yep. Got your mushroom, fire flower, you got your star. Yeah. It's a primer, really. Contra is still one of the most adrenaline-packing, pulse-pounding, pure action, thrilling games ever made. I think it surpasses even like 16-bit, 32-bit, 64 stuff later that tried to be the same vibe. It's just a new energy when you played that game against most other NES games. It's so different. There's no waiting around for what to do. There's no text. You don't have to read or think.
God forbid.
Everything. Marble Madness, it's one of my personal favorites. It's kind of publicly known. I have an isometric fetish. But if you want a puzzle game where you're actually controlling in real time something that happens, and it's a simple premise. You navigate a marble rolling through a maze and various challenging, you know, platforms and topographical.
Yeah, you've talked about it before, at least obstacles. Once or twice.
Maybe four or five times a day for the past 30 years.
Wow.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
That's it. That is a way to start off 2014.
Right there. Yeah, quick shot challenge. If any listeners have any suggestions on what other games I should try with that quick shot crap controller, let me know.
I'm just saying, there's got to be something. There's got to be a very specific game that it was designed for. There's got to be, man.
Mickey Mousecapade, Side Pocket, Kung Fu, Double Dragon 2, Bump and Jump, Ring King.
I did play Double Dragon 2 today, too.
Really?
Yeah, so I watched a speed run, and because I think our collective thought process was the Hurricane Kick was the way to go. And there's actually a very detailed document on GameFAQs about what move does the most damage. And
oh, the flying knee.
Yeah, see, the flying knee. Yeah, so that's like the most popular when it comes to... You can take down a Bobo in two shots with the flying knee. That's impressive.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I can't figure out exactly how to pull it off every time. Like, I even got to the point where
it's
like, when you crouch down, like, I'm just slamming A and B at the same time as fast as I can. And, like,
jamming on it.
Yeah, like, I've been able to get three in a row, but that's not good enough for me. Yeah. Like, I can do a hurricane kick every time, no problem.
Yep.
But that flying knee, man, that's something I need to look into.
And that's a testament to how awesome of a game Double Dragon 2 is, that even though the controller only had two buttons, there's so many moves to do in that game, and some of them are really difficult. Like, it actually, there's a skill level tier going on.
Hey, it's all about timing.
Beginner player, yeah, yeah.
If you can't time it,
I bet Jason couldn't even do a hurricane kick, you know? It's just that kind of
thing. I bet Jason doesn't even know what a hurricane kick is.
Yeah. Oh. Whoa.
What PC game has a hurricane kick, Jason?
F-15 Hurricane Simulator.
A noble attempt.
I tried.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I tried. Street Fighter for PC?
We had
Mega Man games for PC?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mega Man.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got a listener email discussion question.
Hey.
Goes like this. Wikipedia defines video game demakes as adapting modern games to the standards of older platforms, such as Halo 2600, an Atari 2600 style demake of Microsoft's Halo series. If you could demake a video game, what game would you choose, what platform would you demake it for, and how would it compare to the original game? Your fan, Steve from Obscure Video Games. You can find him on Twitter at ObscureVGS or even at ObscureVideoGames.tumblr.com. Thanks for writing in, Steve. What do you guys think of this question? I like demakes personally. Yeah, it's a great question.
That was a good question.
I do like demakes too. Depends on the quality of the demake. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing. One of the ones I thought of, I mean, it's already kind of been made, but not really. I would love to have a demake of Smash Brothers for the Super NES.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool. Like, using the Super NES sprites.
Yeah.
And because if you think about it, you could put all of the same characters in the game. Like, you'd have to recreate Fox and Falco, or Falcon from Star Fox, but because there's no, like, side-scrolling game with them in it. But I think Super Smash Brothers is one of those games that you can practically make for every single console, especially in the NES library.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be an incredible game because you get the pull from all of those great characters, you know?
That is a good answer.
Thanks. That's
yeah.
Usually what I do.
Yeah.
Usually.
Usually.
Jason.
I'd want to take a game that's rather expansive, so like a World of Warcraft or a Skyrim, even one of the Assassin's Creed games, just something with an open world. I'd love to see it put in a kind of like a early 90s, like either like a PC game or even a console game. I think it'd be just really neat to have a world of that size from an overhead 2D perspective.
I dig it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe like Skyrim, but built on the build engine for Duke Nukem.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Ooh.
I'd play that.
That'd be enormous.
That would take a long time.
It would.
So long.
Also a good answer. I like that.
This ain't our first rodeo, Bailey.
I guess not. Yeah, what's my problem?
I just think, well, here's what I'm thinking. I think you've got a crappy answer. You're just... Keep pushing yourself down.
I thought it was okay. Well, the angle I came at this question was thinking, what were some genres that were underrepresented back in the day? Especially ones that I enjoy and wish I had more of back then. Like, so I thought to like the Super Nintendo or the Sega Genesis, the 16-bit era, that golden gaming age of the 90s, and I see two gaping holes. Vehicular combat and survival horror. So my two ideas is I would love to see the Twisted Metal games.
Yes.
Demade for Super Nintendo using like the Mode 7 Super Mario Kart kind of pixel.
Or you could do the top down like Micro Machines.
Yeah.
That would also be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, that would be fantastic.
Most of them probably be the best.
Yeah. I think seeing the Resident Evil games on earlier platforms, because, I mean, they aren't really combat intensive, and the polygons on the first couple games looked horrible anyway. You could totally make them into an overhead or an isometric or a side-scrolling, I think, or just make it... I mean, the first one is so exploration and puzzle. I mean...
Right.
Like, I was trying to complicate and think, oh, what if... Could you make Resident Evil 4? No, you couldn't really. But even seeing, like, a game... A good old college try attempt at Resident Evil 2 on Super Nintendo. I'd love to see a talented developer take that challenge and see what they do with it. Like a 16-bit Silent Hill. Fog everywhere. I don't know.
God forbid. No fog. So, yeah. So much fog.
Those are my ideas.
No, those are good, man. I mean, it's like I'm trying to think of how. I mean, you know, realistically, somebody who's really not that skilled at, because we would basically. So, okay, there's a couple of ways to do a demake. You can either create it from scratch using original hardware and the programming language and that kind of thing, or you can just reskin a game. Like if we wanted to do Twisted Metal. You could just take Super Mario Kart, make every level the battle mode, and then recreate the characters in it. That wouldn't...
Yeah.
I say this, but it's like, it wouldn't be that hard.
I hear you, though, because you could put 8 characters into Super Mario Kart from the Twisted Metal series. You have your sprite graphics there. You could have battle mode only and save memory because you're taking out several tracks altogether.
Right.
And then you could redo some of the weapons to look like weapons.
Right, instead of like a red shell, it's a homing missile or
and then add a couple weapons. Still there. You could add a couple weapons And rather than the balloon system, just have an on-screen health bar. I mean, it's totally doable.
So
why hasn't someone done this? Now
that
we say
it. Well, here's what I was getting ready to say. Like, I know this is going to sound awful, but if we can come up with this idea, it's got to be, it has to have been done by now.
I don't know.
It
We've
has
come
to
up
have been done.
Pretty
by now.
Cool ideas on this podcast.
Now, come on, who are we kidding?
Dennis Hopper,
Rocket Pants.
Just...
Rocket Pants, yeah.
Rocket Pants.
Like, ah, well,
someone asked me when they were going to be able to buy something from RocketPants.com the other day.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I told
I was
him
say
never, but maybe someday from Rocket-Pants.com.
There we go.
Hyphen. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because we don't own. Yeah.
Yeah.
Missed the boat on that one. God forbid.
Without the hyphen, it was like $5,000 for the domain. With the hyphen, it was like five.
So. Yeah, it was weird.
Perfect.
The internet.
I'm not seeing any. I'm seeing sprites. I'm seeing people making Twisted Metal NES sprites, but not.
Huh. That's interesting.
The actual, I don't
so
see
half
any,
the work's
yeah.
already done for us.
For the most part. I mean,
we're
I don't know about you guys.
Basically 3
but...
man hours away from making this real, yeah. right? I mean, yeah.
Just got to dump the graphics, paste these in, kind of somehow reload them up to the ROM, and we're good.
You're done.
I mean,
problem
it's tough
solved.
Work, man. Don't get me wrong. It's tough work.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, when you're dealing with three geniuses like us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, we're just idea guys, though. No problem. We can't actually yeah. sit down and.
We are yeah. idea guys.
Oh,
I'm
there's a Left 4 Dead demake for the NES. I never knew that.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
It's just a run and gun. Still kind of cool looking, though.
I like run and guns.
I love run and guns. My all-time favorite genre.
Really?
Yeah, I figured that out on the podcast.
Yeah, I did.
Cool. Yeah.
It was a while ago. We need more demakes that we can run on original hardware. That's what we need.
Good call. I agree.
Like... I wanna be able to slap it in my what's it called? The ROM and no well yeah but the ROM cart.
Oh, your flash cart
yeah
thingy yeah.
And be able to play these games with original hardware. Okay, now we can go to a music break.
Music break.
Break. Whoa.
Back. That was Against the Rest by Brain Cells, a Super C remix with some rock and electric guitar work. Cool. Speaking of cool, now it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, the Retro Showdown is a portion of our show where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game, and we will have 1 minute to introduce our pick, usually in accordance with a theme. And then we kind of just spend the rest of the podcast arguing about who picked the best game, hopefully in an entertaining manner. But the best part is that you, the listener or viewer, you get to vote for your favorite of the trio on a poll on the podcast page on onemorecastle.com. So hopefully we entertain you, and hopefully one of our arguments will sway your vote. Now, 3 episodes ago, episode 67, our theme was holiday games. And Hunter won with Christmas Lemmings. Can you believe that?
No. You know what? You know what pisses me off about that?
What's that?
So we lost a week worth of posts. This was one of them. And I had about 5 votes already. Yeah. For my game.
Yeah. We're in a weird place timing-wise with the episodes and stuff, so bear with us as we get back into a good rhythm. But yeah, it's kind of unfair towards Jason at the moment.
I think I'm on like a 4-game winning streak right now.
Yeah, the juggernaut is back.
Juggernaut is back.
We say that far too often.
That's well.
True. So tonight, the Retro Showdown theme is games with product placement, brought to you by Diet Pepsi. Mmm, that refreshing taste of Diet Pepsi. Jason is our official timekeeper.
I am.
Typically, I go first. I guess I'm ready. Whenever
you're
right. Ready, Jason.
You may begin.
In what may perhaps be my most anticlimactic choice ever, because I explicitly mentioned this game as an example for this theme last week, I'm going to go ahead and pick Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. It was made for the NES in 1990 by Konami under their Ultra brand. Honestly, one of my all-time favorite games. I spent far too many hours beating it over and over as a kid, by myself, with my sister, with my mom, whatever. And the product placement in question is you actually eat Pizza Hut pizza to regain your health. And there's Pizza Hut posters. And it's, honestly, it's like the anti-Jason game. It's a mindless, endless, relentless beat-em-up. But it's made well, looks good, has stuff the arcade game doesn't, like additional levels and bosses. Tons of fun, high action. TMNT 2, the arcade game.
All right. I like beat-em-ups.
Really?
No, yeah, he meant that it was mindless fun. You don't like fun.
All right. Forgot.
Yeah.
All right, Hunter, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You may begin.
For this showdown, I was torn, actually, between a couple of games that featured product placement. You know, sure, you could go with the norms, Yo-Noid, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, even Pepsi Man for the PlayStation. I decided to pick a game that I actually remember playing as a kid at my local arcade. I went with Tapper, featuring Budweiser beer. In Tapper, you play as a lonely barkeep that is tasked with the job of getting the entire town drunk on Budweiser beer. With patrons constantly filing through your bar doors, you fill up mugs of beer and swing them down the bar. One missed throw and it's game over. The challenge increases with more people coming through the four doors searching for a helping hand of Grandpa's old cough medicine. It's Tapper for the arcade.
All right.
Beer.
I guess I'll begin. Already lovingly mentioned by Hunter and brought to you by this week's sponsor, Pepsi Man is your lovable, consumer-friendly 1999 release for the PlayStation. Available only in Japan, this game featured Pepsi Man, the Japanese-only mascot, who must quench people's thirst with his name-brand goods. Pepsi Man saw you running entirely on rails through one level to another, picking up Pepsi cans and using Pepsi-branded vending machines on the sides. That's Pepsi Man, featuring your favorite FMVs and Pepsi Man for the Pepsi PlayStation Crystal.
Pepsi.
Pepsi Man.
Pepsi Man.
Only so, Jason Lamb would pick an on-rails game with full motion.
Not even an on-rails game. An on-rails running game. So it's like the crappy version of Mirror's Edge.
No, Mirror's Edge wasn't on rails. That's kind of on rails.
It is a little bit.
What's that game everyone plays on their phone now? Temple Run?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is ahead of its time.
Yeah, with Pepsi.
Yeah, there should be Pepsi Man for my Android and iOS device.
Yeah, there should be. You're right.
So, yeah. If you don't know already, you do. You have got to search for this game. It is the worst looking game with the worst looking mascot I have ever seen in a video game.
I wouldn't say Tapper looks that bad, Hunter.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Pepsi Man.
Oh!
No, Tapper is a classic.
I would rather Tapper drink a Pepsi than a Budweiser. It is not the king of beers.
Yeah, well, that's
can
true,
I take but... the third option of neither?
Yeah, you can.
I don't... Strangely enough, I'm not really a big fan of popular American beers. So, that's just not my thing. And I don't like Pepsi either. Now, if it was Crown Royal Runner,
ooh,
or Crown Royal nice Man... Reference.
There we go.
There you go.
Can I have some?
Just a reminder to our live stream viewers, tonight's episode is brought to you by Diet Pepsi. Diet Pepsi.
What's it taste like, Bailey? Does it taste as awful as Bailey's game? Bailey.
Tastes
does it
like
taste as
angel
bad
sweat.
As your game? So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade.
Yeah.
So good.
Was one of those games that when awesome. You're a kid, it's absolutely amazing.
Oh, don't
get
even.
Get to play as the turtles, anyone that you want. You know, you got your Leonardos, you got your Donatellos, you got your Michelangelos, your Raphaels.
All great artists.
All great art, well, except for Raphael. He wasn't an artist. But then you slowly realize that there's absolutely no difference between all four characters except for their color schemes.
What else so matters?
A little, you know, a little uniqueness,
if
a little personalization.
Play Turtles 3, the Manhattan Project, in which their weapons have different reach lengths and each of them has a differing special move.
Or you could play the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, where it was completely different in terms of weapon lengths. Yeah, I could.
You could.
And I do.
Yeah.
On occasion. Because I would like a challenge. Not just a mindless button
are you
smash.
Are you saying Turtles 2 is not challenging?
No. The only challenge in the game is that it added a few extra levels that the arcade didn't. Because they knew you weren't going to be popping in quarters.
It has like super cheap bosses too. Do you remember trying to beat Clone Shredder with his one hit kill laser beam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's tough stuff.
How did that work out in the arcade?
Pretty tough.
Here's another story. So this is another one of those games that sucked you in with cheap gameplay mechanics and crappy product placement. That you'd pump all your quarters in, and you knew that there was one more game that you wanted to play before you left the arcade. But no, since it's so addictive, like crack cocaine,
now,
you lose all of your money.
Are we talking about Tapper or Turtles?
Overrated. Yeah, the arcade.
Talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm talking,
talking about
NES release. Like the arcade game is like severely overrated. It's way too hard. It takes up too many quarters. It's too easy to die. There's too many enemies on screen.
It's a perfect port to the NES.
Actually strikes a nice balance.
No, it's the exact same game.
No, it's not. Not even close.
It's the exact same game.
Not even close. You don't even realize like the arcade purists you're offending right now by suggesting they're the same. Like people get so up
arcades
in arms
don't even
over
exist
how different
anymore.
They
yeah,
are.
There, okay. There's a reason they're
wow.
dead.
Wow. Okay.
There's now a reason they're dead.
I agree.
Wait, okay, so
I'm going to one for my birthday, though, so that's going
to
be fun.
Right, and there's one in town that I get to on occasion, so. Okay, so let's compare both the games, the arcade and the NES port. So you get four turtles to choose from, right?
How many characters can you choose in Tapper? Even if it's just color scheme differences, how many can you choose from?
Well, there's only the one perfect character that you need.
One perfect
if you
want to
talk
character.
About a... If you Pepsi want to talk man. About a perfect... No. Pepsi Man. Why would they even make a game like Pepsi Man? Like, how bad off does your development team have to be where it's like, okay, we're screwed. We've Whoa. Got nothing
this
right now.
This game was so popular that they made an Arabic dubbed version. It was huge in the Middle East.
Like, I have to say, Pepsi Man, I've never played it, but it looks like so much fun.
It does.
You know, I'm supposed to make fun of it. I'm supposed to insult it, but it just looks like so much fun.
No, it's...
It's good, super cheesy, innocent fun.
But he looks like a superhero. I thought it was some really well-rendered polygons he's got going on.
Yeah.
And that guy is
he
statuesque.
Looks awful, man. He looks so bad.
He is.
Like, there's a reason why things stay in Japan.
He is our Greek god.
What's that even mean?
He's statuesque.
And when he gets a hole on the side of his can, he's
godlike.
A god.
Oh!
Ouch, that was pretty bad.
No.
Yes.
It's
just a reminder for our listeners, tonight's episode is brought to you by Diet Pepsi. Love that Pepsi. Diet Pepsi.
Well, see.
Drink one
okay,
today.
So, Bailey, you mentioned that Pepsi Man looks like a superhero.
Yeah, he does.
And... to me, he looks like a crazy lunatic in a suit, but that's just me.
That's what a superhero is, Hunter.
No, yeah. A superhero
yes!
usually fights for good, saves people. He doesn't go running through
they
people's
have severe
homes
personality disorders
stealing and their Pepsi.
He's just not picking up what he can off the street. I mean, I can't believe I'm defending Jason's game, but I mean, it might be one of the best superhero games ever made.
Pepsi Man?
Yeah.
No.
No, he goes through people's homes, though.
I know, it's awesome. He just runs right through them. It's like Kool-Aid Man.
There's got to be laws that he's breaking right now.
He's not.
He's breaking so many laws.
He's quenching the people's thirst, though.
No, he's stealing it from them, so they'll never quench their
thirst. Every mission starts where a citizen will approach and go, yo, I'm thirsty. He's like, hold on.
But...
You might not know this, but I'm the Pepsi Man, and I can quench that thirst.
But wow. Then he runs away until he gets to a Pepsi machine, at which he
and then he buys
a Pepsi
one
and drinks it for himself.
Right, so he's not helping anybody.
Well, after all that running, he got a little thirsty.
Like my little, point is yeah. just. He's not taking Pepsi from anyone, but he's not giving it away.
No, you know what? The people watching, they're just salivating so much because they're just in awe of this Pepsi Man that they're no longer thirsty. They've quenched themselves.
Just like, drink your spit, folks.
Yeah.
Just drink your spit.
Pepsi Man.
Pepsi Man, drink
I will
your
say
spit.
This. The game doesn't look that bad. Like, since you're running
it's
at such a fast
game.
Pace, like... like a lot of the issues that the PS1 had, like you don't really see them because the game's moving so fast. Like it doesn't look that bad.
Hunter, that the reaction I get. Just say your name, I get a heavy sigh. I love it.
No, I'm just now he's got a trash can on him and he's just running around aimlessly.
Listen, you're just angry because. This is Never a game since. That obviously would have had a sequel on the Dreamcast if the Dreamcast was a long one.
Oh, that's horseshit.
Low blow.
But it looks like such a Dreamcast game.
Oh, come on. That doesn't even make any sense.
It does.
It looks like a Dreamcast game.
This
like
does.
Prototypical Dreamcast game.
Yeah.
No, come
is
on.
It Japanese? Is it insane?
If music and right? rhythm based, then it would be a Dreamcast game.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I just have a question, Hunter. I have a question. The arcades spawned many classic games, many of which are even recognizable to a mainstream audience, or they're still getting iterations and sequels to this day. Space Invaders, Joust, Asteroids, Mario Brothers, Pac-Man, I mean, there's dozens of games. Even if you go into like Street Fighter 2, there's lots of really classic arcade games that the average person loves. It still makes its way into conversations, into our national lexicon. Tapper, though, it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same name recognition. Why is that?
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't.
What? Yeah, it does.
No, if you go to the average.
Okay. Let me.
Microwave meal eating, television watching, middle America human being.
Right.
And you said, Pac-Man!
Right.
Instantly, there's this iconic idea that would leap to the forefront of their mind.
Oh, absolutely.
If you walk in front of that person and say, Tapper! I guarantee you they will not know what you're talking about.
Okay. So I can answer your question. And I'm actually going to add another game to the mix.
Okay.
That was extremely popular in the arcades that, at least from my understanding, has yet to have any kind of redux like the games you had mentioned have. So, Galaga.
Hmm.
Super popular game.
Mm-hmm.
Probably even more popular than Space Invaders. There's a reason why there's certain games through society that have not been remade. And that's because they got it right the first time. And Tapper is one of those games.
That's why there's never been a sequel to Pepsi Man.
That is stretching it just a little bit.
I think Jason has a point.
If you
can say it about your game, why can't you say that about his?
Yeah.
Because they don't make games like Tapper. Why am I still
watching
this Peppy Man?
They don't make games like Tapper anymore for a reason.
Oh my god. Like, I gotta stop watching.
No, you don't.
They don't make games like Tapper anymore. Okay? As a society, we have changed our outlook on what a video game should be. We want more in-depth story. We want more multiplayer. We want more booms. We want more bangs.
Disagree.
We want more weapons.
I think we've come back to a place of appreciating simplicity. Yes, thanks to mobile gaming and indie gaming, no longer do people want a 60-hour RPG experience in high def. They don't want that. They want the most mesmerizing.
They want sports games?
Wait in line.
No,
tap
they don't.
On a screen game. With nothing wrong with that, but I just disagree.
Then story I recommend that you go and look at the top 10 games from 2013, and I can guarantee that 8 of those games are either sports related or they're first person shooters. And that is it. That is what we've become as a society when it comes to gaming. That is the gamer right now. It's the 12, the 14 year old kid who's begging his parents to buy him the next Call of Duty or the next Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They don't make games like Tapper anymore. See, even Jason said about Pepsi Man is exactly like Temple Run. It is. It's exactly like Temple Run. And that's an extremely popular game. Because anything you put on rails that dumbs down the game mechanics enough for anybody to play is going to play it. But with Tapper, there is so much strategy involved. There's no button mashing like there is in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 the arcade. You know, there's you have to strategize what you're going to do.
Okay, so you know? What you're saying is your game and Jason's game better epitomize your idea of an ideal game, whereas my game is just more fun and more popular. That's what I'm hearing.
It is more popular, yeah, probably.
And I feel bad for saying that because you actually just made like a very profound statement. That's actually really cool. I'm glad I got to hear it. But
you're just going to dump that bag of poop that has Half-Life 3 written on it on me? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah. That's exact.
Oh, my God, Jason. I hope Half-Life 3 never comes out. Whoa. Because I'll tell you what. I played Half-Life 2. It's not that good. It's really not that good.
I
hate silent protagonists. I hate coming into the game where I have to play the first iteration in the series where you have no idea what's going on. I have no idea who Gordon is, except for everybody hates him because they're trying to kill
him. Wait,
awful.
Did you say the first
awful.
Eight?
They love
did
they
you
love
just
Gordon.
Did you just say Half-Life 2 is the first iteration of a series?
No, I said that you have to play the first iteration of the series to understand what's going on.
He's saying he hasn't played a Half-Life game before. This is the first iteration of the series he has played.
Correct. Unlike Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, where I don't have to play the first game, because let's face it, the game's
super hard and love it.
There you go.
He's just angry that
I know exactly what's going on. Castle, tonight's episode brought to you by Diet Pepsi.
Oh, all right. That's
the newest product from Pepsi Man.
Drink that Pepsi.
I'm still surprised that I picked both of you guys' games in my intro. What's this world coming to?
Pepsi Man?
What is this world coming to?
I'm not that surprised.
When I saw Pepsi Man, was like, that's a Jason Lamb pick. I'm not going to pick that game.
This was
a boy. Was I right?
Hey, I didn't even know about it. Someone recommended it on Twitter.
Nice. You just kind of eroded your own credibility there, Jason. I'm not defending you anymore.
Why, Pepsi Man? It's the people's choice.
No, it's not. If any game is the people's choice, it's mine.
No,
Hunter. I've tried Tapper, and it's not fun. Tapper is not that fun.
Again. Back to what I said on the last podcast. Just because you're not good at a game doesn't mean it's a bad game. It's as simple as that.
Just because I suck at it doesn't necessarily mean it's great.
That is more likely than the earlier.
It's more likely that a game is great than bad. Is that what you're saying? Because
if you were awful at it, yes.
Some strange backwards logic you've got there. But it's hard to argue against.
That's juggernaut logic right there, buddy. Juggernaut logic.
Juggernogic!
I tell you a game that's great. Double Dragon 2. Oh,
but you didn't bring it. You brought Tapper.
I brought as equal of a
fun,
popular, complex, strategic game as Double Dragon 2.
No.
That just
happened. All right. You keep saying I'm insane for not liking Mega Man or platformers, but
thank you.
So far, you've said that you hate Hotline Miami, you hate Half-Life 2,
right.
You just compared Double Dragon to Tapper.
Right.
You are the insane one.
I see nothing wrong with what you just said. Now let me go back and clarify. The thing I didn't like about Hotline Miami was the controls.
Which are perfect.
No, they're not. They're fucking awful. Okay?
You're using
so bad. So bad.
You were using a controller, yes?
Of course
I'm using
a
controller. You don't use a controller.
Okay, name one gamer who doesn't use a controller of some kind.
How about millions?
Millions on the PC?
No, I said gamers.
Oh, wow.
Like, for real gamers. Right. That's right. I'm bringing back this argument. That's the argument I'm bringing back.
Wow. That's racist.
What?
That is racist.
How is that what?
Racist.
I don't want to have this
conversation. No, we're having it.
It's prejudice. It's prejudice. Okay. It's not racist. It's
final
prejudice.
Argument. Hunter, why should anyone pick Tapper as the best game of the three this week?
So, the product placement is beer. Who doesn't like beer? I mean, I know it's Budweiser. Nobody's really a big fan of Budweiser. I'm not a big fan of Budweiser, but, you know, whatever. It's beer. Beer's beer.
What a half-spirited
And Tapper's a classic. Tapper is an absolute classic. You can't say that you've never played Tapper. You can't say that you've never enjoyed playing Tapper. You can't say that Tapper is not a challenging game that requires skill and admiration for the title.
Whatever.
The only pick for this week's Wrestling Showdown.
Jason, why should anyone pick your Temple Run clone?
Before it was a clone.
Before it was clone.
Before it was a clone.
You should pick Pepsi Man.
Brought to you by Diet Pepsi.
Jesus.
Because you would like to have your thirst quenched by the ice-cold taste of the Pepsi Man.
That only Pepsi Man is allowed to drink.
So not even the ice cold taste of Pepsi. Oh no, the taste of Pepsi Man.
A Pepsi Man.
We're getting some weird.
That's why he runs. They They run and he sweats and they bottle his sweat.
Oh, gross.
And then you drink your sweet, delicious Pepsi.
Why is it so sweet? It doesn't make any sense. Why is it so sweet?
Because he drinks children's tears.
So gross. So
he drinks
too.
Children's
wow.
tears.
Pepsi Man.
Wow.
Let me send out a quick.
Whatever happened to RC Cola? Why can't we get a game that's product placed by
them?
They're
still around.
I love RC Cola.
I like RC also.
It's a great mixer if you're an alcoholic like me.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be. I need to buy some RC Cola. I've got a lot of rum.
I got a foot for you.
So you should vote for my game, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, for two simple reasons. One, it's the most product placement-y game of the three because the turtles themselves are practically a product placement, let's be honest. And number two, it is the best game of the three. It's actually fun. And two players.
So. Yeah, you couldn't play four on the NES. That's kind of that sucks.
It doesn't suck that much.
No, that sucks. There's four turtles.
I mean, oh, yeah. Games where you can't play with four people, those suck. That makes a game suck.
No, I was just saying. It sucks.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
It would be a fun game to play with four people.
It's fun with.
Could
two
you
or
play
one.
The? Could you play Manhattan Project with three people or with four people?
No.
So the first one was Turtles in Time.
So I'm just gonna throw out some shout outs to the live stream commenters. Thanks for not only watching the live stream but having the courage to comment on it publicly. Thanks, Dustin Faber, Captain Knucklehead, Andrew Carrero, Scott Olbeck. And a couple other, Edward Varnell, Eric Hunter. Okay, I'm just starting to read the host names. But yeah, thanks for anyone watching the live stream and commenting. That's awesome. Love to see you guys always. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Nintendo_legend. Please keep checking the site, onemorecastle.com with the number one. Remember, the live stream broadcasts at 7:30 p.m. Central on Thursday evenings. If you have a listener email discussion question of your own, send it to podcast@onemorecastle.com. This is my once in a year thanks to Ben Landis for letting us use his tunes for the intro and outro tracks. And finally, please support the interlude artist via the free download link on the podcast page, onemorecastle.com. If you have any chiptune artists that you want to promote, give them some free promotion. There's a link on the website to do that, onemorecastle.com. We want your music. Give it to us. How about you guys? Any shout outs, Jason?
No, Hunter can go first.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Actually, my shout-out's going to go to Mr. Zach Smith. You can follow him on Twitter at ZFunk007. He just picked up a modded Sega Genesis version 1 with S-Video out. So that's pretty cool. So definitely check that out.
And remember, his column on onemorecastle.com is not the completionist. It's the completest.
Yeah, did anybody fix that? He got really mad at me when I did that.
I can go fix it. I'll go fix it right now.
Okay.
I'll go do that.
He was really mad at me.
Ha ha, he got mad at you.
Well, I mean, is he not a completionist? Isn't that the like the official
he
term?
He is a completionist, but the column is called the completist.
The completist, yeah.
Hey, I got something wrong today, too, with Tom's post. I put 16 instead of 16.
That's all good.
Numbers or Spanish or anyway.
That's all right.
So Spanish. Jason, how about you?
You can
happy quinceanera. You'll see. Yeah, it's on the site. But anyway, Jason.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'd like to give a shout out this week to Pepsi Japan for their cultural contribution. That is Pepsi Man.
Okay, Zach, I just fixed it. It now says the completest on episode 68. Show memories.
That was my bad. I didn't. That wasn't.
Not a big deal.
That was a long day,
no
man.
No matter how
that was a long
gets.
Day for me.
I bet it was.
He's lucky I didn't cut his ass, is what he said.
Nice, nice. I think I got all of my official notes out of the way. So, thanks for listening, listeners. But remember, most importantly, tonight's episode was brought to you by Diet Pepsi.
Jesus, come on.
And.
Wow.
Drugs!
You are a bad. Oh, wow. Oh, dang it. So close. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I just hope it's not a train. Remember, listeners, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!